As an Air Force veteran, Memorial Day resonates deeply in my heart. We honor those who made the ultimate sacrifice so that we might live in freedom. Their empty chairs at family tables are the true cost of liberty. Welcome to Christ in Prophecy. I'm Tim Moore, Director and Senior Evangelist for Lamb and Lion Ministries. Joining me today is Nathan Jones, our Internet Evangelist. And Nathan, you also have family members in the service.
True. My father was in the Navy during Vietnam, and my son is currently in the Coast Guard. Well, folks, Jesus spoke words every veteran understands. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. That sacrificial love reflects the heart of our Savior. Christ paid the ultimate price, purchasing our eternal freedom with his precious blood.
This Memorial Day weekend, Americans pause to honor the men and women who gave their lives in service to our nation. We gather at gravesites, lay wreaths, and erect monuments because we understand that our memories matter. It's when we forget our history that we lose our way.
Well, Tim, the impulse to memorialize is as old as Scripture itself. Today, looking at the 12 memorial stones Joshua commanded to be raised on the bank of the Jordan River, that's going to be our topic. Those stones weren't just piles of rocks, they were testimony. They declared to every generation that follows that the hand of the Lord God is mighty, Joshua 4:24.
And that timeless truth connects directly to Bible prophecy. So we'll explore what those 12 stones mean and how they can still speak to us today.
And we're going to get underway in just a moment, but in the meantime, we encourage you to go to our website and check us out at christinprophecy.org. Folks, we have a wealth of information to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our Christ in Prophecy television program, along with an archive of these radio programs, our Lamplighter magazine, many articles, newsletters, short videos, social media, you name it. It's all there on christinprophecy.org. And if you'd like to partner with us and donate, just click that donate button. All right, come back in just a moment and we'll dive into the 12 memorial stones.
Want to know what the Bible has to say about advancing technology, wars in Israel, natural disasters, rapid changes in society, and the end times? To get a trustworthy biblical perspective, keep listening to our radio program, watch Christ in Prophecy TV, and read the Lamplighter magazine. It's all available online at christinprophecy.org.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy Radio. As we talk about the 12 memorial stones, obviously the book of Joshua begins after God's people had wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. The promised land lay just beyond the Jordan River, and the swollen river was all that stood between them and everything God had prepared.
That's where we get to the miracle of the Jordan River. If we open your Bibles, go to Joshua chapter 3. God instructed the priests carrying the ark to step into the Jordan River before the waters had parted. But the moment their feet touched the water, the river stopped flowing. It backed up all the way to the city of Ai in what's called a heap, and the entire nation crossed on dry ground. And this is parallel to what happened earlier to the Israelites 40-some years earlier when they crossed the Red Sea under Moses. It's unmistakable and intentional. God meant for the Jewish people to remember this, and so that's why he was going to make this command.
You know, God's initial call to Joshua was to be strong and courageous. Three times in Joshua chapter 1, the Lord said, "Be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous." And even the people reiterated God's commandment by saying to Joshua on their behalf, "Be strong and courageous." Nathan, it's like they get to chapter 4, they're about to step in the Jordan River, and God says, "Be strong and courageous." In other words, trust in me and step out in faith. So here's exactly what he says in Joshua chapter 4. To Joshua, "Take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight, so that this may be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' then you shall say to them, 'Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever.'" I'm reminded over and over again, Nathan, that the Lord wants us to remember. He wants us to reflect on what he has done, demonstrating his faithfulness in the past so that we will be reassured in the present to what he is doing and so that we can trust his promises in the future for what he will do.
And that's exactly what he tells Joshua in chapter 4, verse 24. He says that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Or have reverent awe. That's what the fear means in the Bible. Reverent awe. The very fact that God could hold back the Red Sea and then later the Jordan River, his power is immense. And yet, you know, Tim, again and again, we put God in this tiny little box. We think that he's incapable of handling our problems and things. This is the Almighty who created the universe, who can make a river stack up into a heap so that 2 million Jews can cross over into the promised land. Folks, the Lord can do those miracles as well. And I love this. He's got this memorial. He's got one stone per tribe, so 12 stones there. They're carried on the shoulders of ordinary men. In other words, it didn't have to be the priests. God uses ordinary people. And then he put up a second set of stones to be placed in the riverbed itself. I've always wondered, when I was a kid, I'd hear, okay, they put up these 12 stones in the riverbed. Like, well, what's the point of a memorial if nobody could see it once the waters came? But there's two memorials, one in the water and one on top of the water. I'm always curious, and I guess archaeologists have not yet found those stones. They must have been knocked down at some point, but wouldn't it be great to someday that the Jordan River dries up in a certain area and they see these 12 massive stones piled on top of each other?
You know, I think it is demonstrative of God how he wants us to have certain things that are evident for all to see and other memories or remembrances that he himself provides. I have accounts in my life where the Lord has given me a sign that is special only to me. It's hidden to the rest of the world, but from time to time, I am reminded of those very special signs. And so I think that's exactly what this is pointing to. And the connection to Bible prophecy is absolute. God's faithfulness to Israel is part of his larger pattern of redemption for all mankind. And so the same God who parted the Jordan, who had formerly parted the Red Sea, who obviously led Israel to the promised land, has promised to send his son back to the earth. And just as they could trust his promises then, we can trust his promises now. You know, Nathan, we mentioned how Israel, the children of Israel, had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because they grew a little bit lacking in their faith. They trusted the bad report from 10 of the spies instead of heeding what Joshua and Caleb had told them about the promised land. We can take it. God is with us. And they dithered, and so God said, fine, you're going to wander for 40 years. Sometimes today, we would be wise to heed the example that those who would dither or would lack in faith of God may not receive the blessing as those who trust in God and his promises. His promises are always yes and amen. And so these 12 stones point us to the past, but also point us to the sureness of his promises in the future.
I like to think if you ever travel down 75 from Oklahoma into Dallas, right at the border there, there's a memorial, a war memorial. And even though you're traveling, you want to get home, when you stop there, it gives you time to reflect on the sacrifices that people made so that we could have freedom. Likewise, like these 12 stones, they reflect on the fact that God is faithful. Luke 21:28 says, but when these things begin to take place, in other words, the signs of the end times, straighten up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. It helps us again and again remember the promises of God. Joshua's 12 memorial stones pointed back to what God had done and forward to what God was going to do. The Jewish people were going to finally at last take their promised land. And we're going to examine that in our next segment called What's Really Going On. Stick with us.
People are desperately searching for answers online, and there are many voices trying to get their attention. At Christ in Prophecy, we point people to God's Word. It's the only source that is 100% reliable from the beginning to the end times. To help us teach others about Bible prophecy, please consider making a generous donation to support this ministry. We rely on the fervent prayers and sacrificial giving of fellow believers to continue broadcasting Christ in Prophecy on TV, radio, and online. The Bible has already revealed what we need to know. Help us share the truth with others by giving today at christinprophecy.org/donate.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy. In this episode, we call What's Really Going On. So Nathan, obviously we've talked about the 12 memorial stones that Joshua placed next to the Jordan River after God brought the children of Israel into the land. We can recognize that in our own day and age, the Lord has once again brought the children of Israel back into the land. So even this memorial points to a future fulfillment that has happened within this last century of the children of Israel, the house of Israel beginning to stream back into the land. And dare I say, the fact that Israel is there today and we can go and visit is a lasting memorial to God's faithfulness. But there's an application that we can make even to our own day and age. How can we ensure that we do not forget the sacrifices that were made to give us the freedom we have even in our own nation?
Well, you're not kidding. We're hitting the 250th anniversary of our country. Absolutely amazing. Most democracies don't last 200 years, so the Lord has really kept us going. But Tim, I worry because this is the first time in my life that I've seen people just don't understand what America stands for anymore. They have really forgotten the Judeo-Christian roots that founded this nation. And, you know, its purpose. There's a campaign out there, a Marxist campaign, to drown out the biblical religious history of the United States. So how do we remember? Well, we study the documents of our founding fathers. We check the memorials that we have all over. We see the founding faith and just going to the Supreme Court and seeing the pictures of Moses etched into the walls. I mean, that's exactly what God taught Joshua to do with those standing stones. He's done that in our nation with so many memorials and documents and things. But Tim, people are just not studying it anymore, and they're forgetting God's hand of just blessing that he's given this country.
And it's the erosion of biblical truth in the public square that makes so many in our nation ignorant of what has come before and therefore unable to discern where we are and where we should go. And that creates an increasing hostility to Christian witness in politics, culture, media. Even when I served in the Kentucky legislature, I felt it ongoingly. My Christian voice was not wanted to be heard by many who I served alongside, and that has created a growing divide and polarization. You know, I think back to the movie Saving Private Ryan, and you think of all the horrors of war, obviously at World War II, but all the way back to our founding. And at the end of that movie, the character played by Tom Hanks, the captain who was leading that group, he said to the young Private Ryan, played by Matt Damon, he said, "Earn this." And what he meant was earn the right to go forward and live for all the sacrifices that have been made on your behalf. That weighed on that individual that you saw at the end of the movie. The character now is an old man going back to visit the beaches of Normandy, asked his wife to affirm that he had lived a life worthy of the sacrifice that had been made on his behalf. Nathan, all of us should live a life worthy of the sacrifice made on our behalf, yes, by heroes, by patriots, but also by Jesus Christ. And we're going to turn to that application here momentarily, but are we living now in such a way that we are exercising our freedom to worship him, to live lives full of truth and meaning here and now, and perpetuating those freedoms for our children and grandchildren? Are we being the salt and light we're called to be?
And that's a difficult time, especially in an election year, for instance, this is a midterm year, is that there's a number of Christians out there who believe that they should withdraw from society, not engage in the culture, not even vote. And I don't know where they tend to get that in the Bible. I mean, like you just said, we are supposed to be salt and light. We are, as Christians, we are the restraining influence that the Holy Spirit uses to hold the tide of evil at bay. And one of the best ways, the fact that we live in a republic that's a democracy that gets to vote by voting, by holding back that tide of evil, even if sometimes it's a lesser evil, it's still holding that evil back. And so I really would just encourage all of you out there, go out and vote. Find people that you're not going to find a perfect person. That's only Jesus Christ. But find the best person that you can and put them in a role where they will respect the Judeo-Christian background of the United States and point this nation to God.
And I will dare say, if you can't find such a person running for office in your locale or your city, your state, even at the national level, run yourself.
Amen.
In other words, be a Christian who steps forward and says, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Send me even into that political realm. Send me down the road. Send me wherever you would have me to serve you as salt and light." Obviously, we would encourage you to stay connected with us. You're welcome to come to our conference this June to be encouraged, to watch, at least online, we'll be streaming it, to stay engaged with God's Word and to learn how you can be impactful to our culture and to people all around you. That's what we do here at Christ in Prophecy. We proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ, but we urge followers of Christ to be salt and light, to be watchmen and women sharing that glorious good news and impacting the world around us. We'll come back in just a moment. We're going to continue our conversation about the 12 stones that are still speaking to us today.
These days, you can't get much of anything for less than a dollar a day. But when you partner with Christ in Prophecy, giving $25 a month or more, your spirit change will make an eternal impact. Our prophecy partners pray faithfully for us and give sacrificially to make it possible to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ through TV, print, radio, and online. Consider joining this remarkable group of people by becoming a Prophecy Partner today. For a commitment of $25 a month or more, we'll send you our outstanding bi-monthly Lamplighter magazine, powerful ministry updates, and exclusive special offers throughout the year. To become a Prophecy Partner, follow the links to donate at christinprophecy.org/donate. That's christinprophecy.org/donate.
Well, Joshua's 12 stones were meant to spark a conversation, specifically between parents and children who ask, "What are these stones?" In that spirit, I want to share 12 lessons drawn from my years of public service in the military and personally as an elected public official in Kentucky as a state legislator. So, Nathan, we've talked about some of these lessons and how they apply even today. What do you see as being the 12 lessons from the stones there at the Jordan River?
Well, I think, Tim, the 12 lessons that you put together really speak. I love the first lesson. Good people need to serve in every sphere. We said that earlier. Every calling, whether it's political, vocational, or ministerial, is to be done as unto the Lord. And wherever you do your work heartily as for the Lord rather for men. That's a biblical mandate, Colossians 3:23.
It certainly is. And that also leads us to our second lesson, if you will. Our political system was designed to resist extremism, but now it seems to reward it. The convergence of media and politics mirrors the spiritual convergence of signs we see in Bible prophecy. The noise of this age should not be permitted to drown out the voice of truth. And so Christians have to speak boldly and truthfully in every sphere of human endeavor, including politics.
And we must understand that some leaders, lesson number three, are going to be self-serving. It's Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 3. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. This is a sign of the times and not a surprise. Tim, I was in airport waiting, and there was a girl sitting next to me, and she must have spent the entire hour we were waiting for the plane taking pictures of herself and making goo-goo eyes. We got a whole society that spends all its time focused on itself. So we're going to know that fallen earthly leaders are self-serving, and that's just a sign of the times.
Yeah, this age of narcissism seems to be rampant, but yet there are selfless servant leaders in every sphere. When I ran for office, I advertised that I was going to be a servant leader, and the emphasis was on servant even before leadership. I saw this modeled in the legislature. Out of 100 legislators, there were only a handful, less than 10. Sometimes I could count them on one hand, the number of people who were truly selfless, serving from a Christian perspective and letting their faith in Christ inform everything that they said and did. And we know that Jesus is the perfect model. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says that the greatest reward is not the praise of men, but hearing well done from the Lord. And that's what every servant leader who is a Christ follower should aspire for.
Amen. I can't wait to be up in heaven. That's what I'm waiting for, Tim, to stand before the Lord and have him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well, the fifth lesson that still speaks that Tim wrote is public words and private deeds do not always match. Jesus reserved his sharpest rebuke for hypocrisy. Matthew 23, you know, folks, the church isn't immune. There's a spirit of apostasy that marks this end of the age. And so we're going to see that increasing more and more until the Lord returns.
And that brings us to lesson number six. The respect for biblical truth is waning, yes, throughout our society, but even in the so-called church. The great falling away is unfolding right now. Our laws and our leaders and many of the mainline, again, supposedly Christian denominations, are exhibiting a post-Christian worldview where they want to embrace the world instead of stay grounded on the Word of God.
The seventh lesson that still speaks is the divide in America is growing deeper. Bible prophecy tells us that there'll be great division amongst the nations. It's a sign of the end times, Luke 21:10. Nation against nation, ethnos against ethnos, in other words, race against race. We're going to see all these tensions. And you know, Tim, it feels like the entire world has been doused in itching powder. Everybody wants a fight.
They surely do. Their ears are itching. Well, we've already said that Christians are a minority. They were in the Kentucky legislature. I guarantee you they are in the American Congress. But that trend will continue. And yet, God has promised that he will preserve for himself a remnant, and that that remnant will be his instrument. God does not work through the majority, folks. Gideon demonstrated that when God told him to eliminate most of the men who were there to fight in the army. He only needed 300, a small minority, to exert his will so that he would get the glory. And right now, if you are part of that remnant church, as we've talked about, your call is to serve as salt and light here and now.
In the ninth lesson, the judicial and legal battleground will intensify. Daniel 7:25 warns of a coming power that will seek to alter the times and the law, a one-world government. It's going to get worse and worse, folks.
It certainly will. That brings us to lesson 10. Engagement in the political process matters. Followers of Christ must remain alert and engaged. Paul utilized his citizenship as a Roman to leverage his ability to share the gospel. We need to use the rights and privileges and responsibilities we have as citizens to serve the Lord here in this time and place, just as the exiles in Babylon were called to be a blessing to the city in which they were living. We need to be a conduit of blessing here and now using our rights and privileges.
Lesson 11, God accomplishes his will even when leaders shake their fists at him. You know, Psalm 2:4 is great. It says, "He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at him." Man's schemes, folks, cannot thwart God's eternal plan.
Well, this brings us to the greatest joy, lesson 12. In any calling, and that is to glorify God and point others to him. We don't have to wait for the fullness of time to have the joy of the Lord right now. And that's the reason for the stones. We can point backward to what God has done. We can point people to the promise of God that is being fulfilled before our eyes today and demonstrate to them that we can trust that all the promises of God will ultimately be fulfilled. As Joshua 4:24 says, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. And in that regard, we bring up what Paul wrote about, that we indeed, as followers of Christ, are living stones, bearing testimony that God protects and preserves his people and is building us up into a great church, a body of Christ to his own glory.
Remember, folks, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No policy can do what only the Prince of Peace can accomplish. Stay with us. Tim's going to come back with a final word of encouragement.
When you scroll through the daily news, you almost always hear bad news. It's easy to forget that there's anything good happening in the world today. But here at Christ in Prophecy, we're proclaiming the good news that Jesus Christ is returning soon. This program is one of the many resources made possible because of the sacrificial financial support of our prophecy partners. These are faithful men and women who give each month and pray for our ministry. Prophecy partners commit to give $25 a month or more. That's less than a dollar a day. For your gift, we'll send you our Lamplighter magazine, ministry updates, and special offers throughout the year. To become a prophecy partner and share the good news that Jesus is coming back, go to christinprophecy.org/donate. That's christinprophecy.org/donate.
This Memorial Day, as flags are lowered and bugles sound across our land, we are reminded that memory is an act of faith. To remember is to say, what happened here matters. What was given here was real, and it must not be lost. When those 12 men shouldered their stones up out of the Jordan and stacked them on the western bank, they were doing more than building a monument. They were making a promise that the generations to come would know the name of the Lord and the might of his hand. As I've reflected on my years spent in the public arena, I'm struck by that same impulse. God was faithful. He guided. He provided. He used imperfect vessels, as he always does, to accomplish his purposes. And the lessons learned along the way are not mine to keep. They are stones meant to be shared. Even as we commemorate and remember the Lord's sacrifice at Calvary, it points us forward. As Paul said, we should drink this cup and eat this bread, proclaiming the Lord's death until he returns. Here's what I know. In this day and age, no political party, no policy, no election will ultimately rescue this nation or this world. Only Jesus Christ can do that. He is coming to do exactly that. The same Jesus who commands us in Revelation 22:20, "Yes, I am coming quickly," means every word of it. So as you remember the fallen, let me ask you to also look up. Those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ will one day be gathered to him. That's the promise, that towers over every memorial stone ever set. Until he comes, let's each of us be living stones bearing testimony that the hand of the Lord is mighty. Let your life be a marker that points others to him. Godspeed.